Welcome to Handmade Humanity, a podcast that helps you in the lifelong pursuit of wisdom and virtue. Each week, we will explore classical literature and ideas, making them accessible to the average reader. There are no shortcuts, techniques, or methods that can substitute for judgment, dexterity, and care, because humanity is handmade. I'm Austin Hoffman, and this is Handmade Humanity. In this episode, I want to talk about the difference between education and training. Now, both of these are good things, so although it's going to sound like I'm very critical of training, I think training that has a very important part to play and role to play in our society. We need training. But what we don't want to do is mistake training for education. What often happens in the modern educational establishment is we think we are being educated when in fact we're merely being trained. So what's the difference between these two things? Well, perhaps one contrast that we can immediately point to is that education tends to be more general. It's broadly based. It applies to many different areas. It extends beyond just intellectual capital or knowledge, but it also extends to things like skills that are cross-disciplinary. It extends into ideas and principles that transcend particular applications. Training, on the other hand, tends to be particular. You are given a set of instructions, you are given a method, and you are fully trained when you can properly apply the method to the circumstance. You receive stimuli, you're trained to react a certain way to those stimuli, and this is what training is. It's very specific. So it doesn't really cross over into other areas. If you're trained how to fix a lawnmower engine, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can fly a plane. You haven't been trained in that area. You might be able to cross over into something like working on a car engine because of the similarity, but then again, you've been trained in engine repair. It's just a slightly different kind of engine repair. So this is one of the main differences between education and training. Education is broad. Training tends to be narrow. Now, what has started to happen is that we have started to substitute training for education. So we can think of training like those job-specific skills that you may need for a certain profession. If you want to be a doctor, you need a great amount of training in order to enter that profession. I don't want to reduce the amount of training. It's necessary. But yet, being a very good doctor and being trained to be a doctor does not mean you can swap over and become a successful accountant without the training. What often happens, especially in our higher education institutions, is that you are being trained. You're given a very narrow, very specific set of skills. And if it turns out that you want to switch careers, well, congratulations, all that money that you spent on an education, supposedly, was actually specific job training that no longer applies. I forget the exact statistic, I don't have it in front of me, but something like, I want to say it's about 50%, perhaps even a little higher, of people that work in a field outside their major. Now think about that for a second. If their college education was purely job-specific training and they switch fields, all of the specific training that doesn't cross over is now useless. Hey, you've been trained to be an accountant, but now you are a software developer. Well, you know, maybe you're good with numbers and that helps a little bit, but all of that accounting knowledge, the knowledge of tax codes and proper inflows and outflows, it's all irrelevant to what you're now doing. That the training has gone out the window. You've wasted a lot of time and money for something that you're not actually using. And this is one of the reasons why education, having a good, solid, broad base of education becomes so important. It's because it does cross over. It does extend to different disciplines. If you are educated, you are given a strong foundation on which to add on training in specific vocations or jobs. So let me give some more examples of perhaps specific job training to clarify what that is. So you may go to a trade school and learn how to be a plumber, a welder, a carpenter, any of these sorts of things. It may be higher education and graduate school, becoming a lawyer, becoming a doctor, becoming a physicist, all of these things that require very specialized, specific job knowledge. Education, on the other hand, as I mentioned, includes, perhaps we can put them under three main headings. It includes content, or a definite body of knowledge, tradition, and this is, again, broadly based. It includes skills, which I am simply going to lump all together under the liberal arts, these arts of truth perception, these arts of freedom that every human being needs, requires, and uses. And then it also includes ideas, these broad, overarching principles that appear in every time and every place if you know how to look for them. this is something that's been somewhat lost in our modern educational establishment, is that in sort of a romantic view, we view the child as being everything he needs to be. We want to avoid mechanistic education that takes away from the natural curiosity and joy of learning. The child needs to explore. We need to have child-centered education. The child should choose what he is interested in, right? We lose the older idea of education, which was a definite entrance into a complex web of social institutions and, perhaps the best word we have for it, tradition, that the child had to be trained to be a certain way. He was not that way naturally. He had to be educated in order to function as a productive member of society, but also to fit into the complex web of relationships around him. This is Plato's view, that the human child must be learned, taught to love what is lovely and to hate what is ugly. He will not come to these conclusions on his own, but he must be educated from outside. And when he is done, you have a mature adult that has been admitted to a certain paideia, a certain way of life. It might be helpful to pause for a moment and remember that education itself is a neutral word. After all, we have to ask, educated into what? So what I'm proposing for education is, of course, the older view of education, that it's into a way of life, it's into a body of knowledge, right? The sciences, the maths, grammar, literature, whichever culture you happen to be living in, that's the body of knowledge you're trying to pass on. But it also includes moral foundations. It includes ethics. Don't steal. Don't lie. Honor your father and mother. Things that are enshrined in the Ten Commandments, in the various proverbs of other cultures, in Aristotle's ethics, in Plato's teaching on justice, right? It's enshrined everywhere. The moral law, the natural law, what is common to all humanity. This is something that we need to be educated into so that we can live together in harmony. But it also includes those liberal arts. So this is grammar, logic, and rhetoric. We need to have these arts if we're to function as human beings. If we don't have these, no matter how well trained we're missing something. We're not able to fully function or interact with the world as we could if we had these arts. We also need the mathematical arts. We need arithmetic. We need geometry. We need music. We need astronomy. Because these things unlock the world. Training will build upon these things. You go from the general, the broadly applicable, right? Who doesn't communicate with somebody else? Who doesn't need to use logic? You go from the broadly applicable to the more specialized training. But again, our modern educational establishment reverses this. More and more, we want to press down the specialized training into even late high school, that we need to have the highly specialized AP courses. We need to already have our career picked out by the time you become a sophomore. You need to start specializing earlier and earlier and earlier. It might be helpful to remember that in the older period of American history, not even that long ago, perhaps only slightly more than 100 years ago, colleges did not offer many majors. In fact, many of them would only offer a single program of study. The idea was that if you were entering the college, you were entering a general program of education, not specialized training. If you wanted to later go on to a specialized profession, you would need to do graduate school. That's what graduate school was for. But now you must select your major, you must get this highly specific training, and if you happen to switch careers, too bad for you. You spent a lot of money on training that isn't applicable. So this also applies to the K-12 school. I mean, think of the way that many students are taught. They're taught to see stimuli. I have this multiple choice test, A, B, C, and D. I'm trained to react. When I see these certain kinds of terms, the Plain of Shinar, the Hundred Years' War, Henry IV, Henry II, when I see these terms, I immediately react to those stimuli and know what I'm supposed to do. I've been trained. But yet that may not help you actually apply that knowledge in real life. That may not help you think about the world. It may not help you to think about the interactions of these different people, places. You just see them and say, oh, that's history. I know how to categorize that. I circle one of the bubbles on my Scantron. Right? That's training. That is not going to be useful in the real world because it is so narrow. So Jacques Barzon commented about the American school system at one point, that the entire enterprise of American schooling seems to be the one goal of making sexually adept drivers of cars. that it's so specialized and so narrow. We just want you to be able to operate machinery that it's no good. It's not education. It is not making fuller, better human beings, but it's making people who can take instructions, people who can read a manual, who can follow steps. But as soon as they get outside the list of steps that they have memorized, they're lost. I listened to one individual describe his interaction with an Amazon rep on a college campus, and he thought the Amazon rep was there recruiting for perhaps software developers or upper-level management. And when he actually talked to the Amazon rep, he discovered the Amazon rep said, yeah, we're not actually looking for any of those positions. We just want people who can take instructions and follow orders. I mean, that's what he saw the college experience as. It teaches you how to follow orders, jump through hoops, and get your diploma at the end, but it doesn't actually educate you. Something has gone wrong. We have substituted training for education. And the moment we step outside the narrow realm of training, we're lost. Right, this is the difference between somebody perhaps who can play chess, but only when he has an opening line memorized. He's playing by the book. He has a set list of moves memorized that are perhaps consensus best moves in a given situation. But the moment there's a variation, the moment it gets outside the book, he's completely lost. He hasn't actually learned how to play chess. He's learned how to follow this list of move orders. This is the person who can look up instructions for a car repair on either YouTube or perhaps a manual, and then he gets halfway down into the car repair and something goes wrong. There are 3 bolts instead of 2. Something is not where it should be. The last person who worked on this car jerry-rigged something, and so now it is slightly different than what the manual says it should be. And if they have only had specialized training to follow instructions without actually understanding the whole, they're completely lost. They're useless because they've been trained, not educated. Now, extend out a little bit. Think about the implications that happen when we have a populace that is trained to use technology, that is trained in sex education, is trained in very narrow fields, but yet has never been educated. Well, the moment they get outside their very narrow training, they're completely lost. I mean, maybe to use another analogy, if we think of medicine of 100 years past, right? They had very specific methods that they would apply. If they see these symptoms, this is what they have to do. But yet, over time, we discovered, hey, there's actually more exceptions to these rules than we initially thought. We can't always apply this old method. In fact, this method becomes harmful. So you can think of practices of leeching, right? So according to their knowledge, right, it's bad blood. So we need to get blood out or put blood in. And in some cases, this actually made things worse. Their training was too narrow. They were not able to see what was going on right in front of them, but instead they just had to follow the book. They had to follow their training. Now, perhaps you can see some of the ramifications that happen when we substitute training for education. Students get trained to react a certain way to stimuli. I see this news event. I see this headline. I see this political party, and I have been trained by my teachers how I ought to respond to that. We're making activists who follow a script, who follow a list of instructions, but they don't actually think for themselves. They can't actually process the events of the world. They can only react in the way they have been conditioned. I mean, this really gets back to what C.S. Lewis argued for in The Abolition of Man, that once we get rid of the Tao of natural law, of a standard to which we are striving towards, all that is left is whatever is imposed on us by our trainers or our conditioners. We're being pressed into a mold that is purely determined by whim or consensus. There is not actually a standard to which a human being should conform. It's just power. It's just will. All right, and this is incredibly dangerous if we think we are being educated when we're merely being trained. You can think of the Pavlovian response of an animal. Animals can be trained to react to stimuli. When the bell rings, that means it's time for dinner. When I bark at the door, that means I get let out. But they don't have the ability to process and think beyond that. If I bark at the door, I get to be let out. What if I bark at a different door? What if I go bark from outside the door, trying to get back in? Does it work the same way? They can't process through this rationally. They just get trained. Hey, this is the stimuli that happens. This is the result. So I can do this. I can respond to commands. I can signify what I want in a way based on how I've been conditioned. But they can't process rationally. They can't intuit something being different. if a dog gets anxious when his family leaves, well, every time the family comes back and the dog gets reassured, but the dog is still not able to abstractly process, hey, every time in the past they've left, they've come back, so I'll stop getting anxious about this. It just reacts to stimuli. Oh, they leave, I get anxious, they come back, I'm happy. Doesn't matter the circumstances. They can't rationalize or process. Now, in part, this happens because we've lost the end goal of education and training. So most often, the goal of parents and students in the education system is not wisdom, it is not virtue, it is not living a good life, it's nothing of the sort. It is to make money, it is to get fame, it is to get prestige, it is to get a job. Your education exists to get you a job. You need to have the job skills. And so we talk about career training and career readiness and job readiness. But the entire goal is to make money. As soon as you start saying, hey, the goal of education is not to make money, you instantly hear the objections, well, my child has to eat. You have to work a job. You have to make a living somehow. The point is not that training is bad. The point is that we can't substitute training for education. Education has to come first. Training can't make one educated, but education can provide for and help training go faster and easier. So here's Plato talking about this idea. This is in the Laws. What we have in mind is education from childhood and virtue, a training which produces a keen desire to become a perfect citizen who knows how to rule and be ruled as justice demands. I suppose we should want to mark off this sort of training from others and reserve the title education for it alone. A training directed to acquiring money or robust physique or even some intellectual facility not guided by reason and justice, we should want to call coarse and illiberal and say that it had no claim whatever to be called education. And so you see there Plato making the distinction between what I'm calling training and education. Education trains a perfect citizen who is ruled, who rules and is ruled as justice demands. He is ruled by reason. The other, training, is dedicated to acquiring money, having a robust physique, or to some intellectual facility that isn't guided by reason or justice. Right? That's cleverness. It's the ability to calculate. It's the ability to perform certain tasks. But it's not education. I mean, this is, again, what sets classical education, or just education in general, apart from training. Because education reaches for higher goals. It is about making a person a better human being. It is about making a person able to live a good life. Because it doesn't matter how much money you make, if you are not equipped to weather the storms of life and to enjoy life properly and in good and moral and just ways, it doesn't matter how much money you have. Right? Living a good life is more than money. Right? We see this from how easy money is to lose. We see this from those that are poor that can live a good life. We see this from those that are rich that can live a good life. Money is not the determining factor. Right? A good life is not really that hard to discover, but it is hard to live. And this is why we need education. We need examples. We need the wisdom from the past. We cannot try and reinvent the wheel. We cannot try and start over from scratch. We need to look to the old things. We need to recognize those good things that have lasted. We need to look to those good things that have lasted because somebody along the line intentionally preserved it and passed it on. This is what education is. It is imparting a way of living in the world. It's moving them, as the student, into a paideia. It's forming him into something. Without it, they are merely cogs in a machine. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what they like. They just have to follow instructions. So education is always aiming at the higher things. What is the true path to happiness? And most are going to say some, whether it's virtue, living a life of virtue, or whether it's being a friend of God, but all agree that happiness is the goal. So how do we get happiness? That is what we want. This is what education provides. Other answers for what the goal of life is could be money, could be reputation, could be power, could be family, pleasure, friends. Yet a moment's consideration reveals that all of these things are desired for something higher. That is happiness. We want money to get happiness. We want honor to be happy. We want pleasure so that we can be happy. And education is dedicated to answering that question. How do we live a full life? It doesn't matter how good our job is if we cannot live a good life. Part of why we need this kind of education is because the world's unpredictable. You can't guess what the next big market will be. No one knew the iPhone was coming, And app development would now be a major component of world society. No one predicted these various housing crashes. Well, you know, probably some people did, but they weren't listened to. There was not a majority view. These different things come and go. We don't know what the next big job market will be. So if you teach a programming language in school, it's likely going to be outdated or outsourced or replaced by the time that student graduates. We just don't know what is on the horizon. And so if we give very narrow specific training, we're actually doing students a disservice. Instead, we want to give them that broad base of education, of broad skills that enable them to jump into whatever markets arrive over the next 50 years. Also, current employers frequently note that new hires come in with a lot of technical skill. They can use Excel and Word, they can navigate through different apps on their iPhone, they can move from program to program to program, they can use email, like they don't need to be technologically trained at all, you know, perhaps in contrast to some older generations. But these younger generations are missing the soft skills, etiquette, communication, how to read a room, how to develop ideas and action steps of their own. How to provide value to the company, to the other team members, when there isn't a specific list of job instructions. They can create things. They can determine their own plans. They can develop these things on their own. That is the fruit of education. That doesn't come from training. That comes from education. It's the old idea that precepts enslave, principles set free. If you have your very narrow set of rules and you can't get outside the box, you're stuck. But if you have principles and you know how to apply them, you are free. Now, this idea comes up again and again and again throughout history. What is education supposed to be about? And I'll just close with one final quote from Socrates, where he is again pointing out this contrast. He was providing something that Athens didn't actually want. And so listen to this distinction here. My good friend, you are a citizen of Athens, a great city and highly renowned for its power and wisdom. Are you not ashamed, then, of seeking to acquire as much money as you can, and reputation and honor, but caring nothing and taking no thought for wisdom and truth and the perfection of your soul? And what he's pointing out is, hey, look, you can get these things, like money and reputation and honor. You know, having a good job will get you those things. Being a well-trained doctor or plumber or carpenter or lawyer or whatever other profession you want to insert can get you these benefits, these goods of the body. But what training cannot get you is wisdom, truth, and the perfection of your soul, which is something far more to be desired than these earthly benefits. So think it over. Are you educated or are you trained? Which one did you receive? Which one do you want to provide to the next generations? Thanks again for joining me for another episode of Handmade Humanity. Hope you'll join me again next week.